Welcome back to In Focus News Radio KMAN. We continue on here with In Focus as Dan Watkins here. He's the post commander for VFW Post 1786 and Auxiliary of Manhattan, Kansas. Appreciate you coming out here. I know it was kind of last moment. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually was thinking about getting a hold of you here probably next week or so and kind of do a summary of what happened this year and what we got going on the rest of the year.
Well, Dan, you certainly get the best dressed of anybody here today, but I understand that that's for another reason.
Yes, I found out this morning, and I'm just going to kind of give a call to action out to everybody. The service starts at 10:30. The veteran's name is Don Hoos. I believe that's right. And his service is at Yorgan Funeral Home this morning at 10:30, and he was a World War II veteran and also Battle of the Bulge. So if anybody's out there and they hear this and they're available today, I encourage you to go out to the funeral home at 10:30, and then the service is going to be at Ashland Cemetery at about 11:15.
Well, it's a bummer to hear that. You know, 94 years old, and I've pulled up his obit here.
Okay. But, we were just talking about that, yeah.
Staff Sergeant with the 76th Field Artillery Battalion during World War II, stationed in Europe. You mentioned a veteran of the Battle of the Bulge. He saw a lot.
Saw a lot, yeah. And I've actually had the honor of talking to some of those veterans, and it's just amazing to hear their stories. It really, really is. It's amazing to hear what they went through. And, you know, they say they were the greatest generation. And one of the guys that I've talked to is Jim Sharp. And everybody knows Jim Sharp. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he likes to say is we won, and a lot of those guys do, so.
Yeah. Well, sorry to hear that, but again, his funeral is this morning, 10:30 a.m., Jorgensen Malone, Lundin Funeral Chapel. And, you know, not many of that generation left here, and, you know, it's kind of fitting because we have the Pearl Harbor Day. What is this, the 79th anniversary this year?
Something like that, 79, 75, 70, probably 75.
It was 78. Can't do math here this early in the morning, but yeah 78 years ago, this Saturday, December 7th, of course, the day that lives in infamy, as President Roosevelt said. Your thoughts here on reflecting this time of year?
It's important to remember them, and it's important to remember how America got involved, you know. And you look at World War I, World War II, you know, those were big wars. I mean, those were world wars, as opposed to what we've got going on now, which, you know, ever since Korea, it's just kind of like, well, we're going to come in and help you out and, you know, do what we have to do. But you look back at that generation that's still here, and you're right, there's not a lot of them left. And you know, my experience, that was part of military history. That was part of what we learned, is some of the things that they went through and some of how they fought. And, you know, it's an ongoing process. Everything changes every day. I just got to talk about something that happened yesterday. I went to the Military Relations Committee luncheon yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to talk to one of the armor commanders yesterday, and they were kind of sharing some of their stories about them going to Poland and all of this over in Europe. And he said the thing that really amazed him was they got to drive a tank through downtown Warsaw. And he said there wasn't even standing room. He said the Polish people were just absolutely amazed at that. And reflecting on that, I remember when I was there in the mid-80s, that was one of the places you couldn't go because it was an Eastern Bloc communist country, and you couldn't go there. But he said it was great because once they got their orientation done and figured out what everything was going, the soldiers got a chance to go out and experience that other country, experience their culture, their food. And he's like, yeah, we even had a couple of beers with people, but to me, that's amazing. That's just, you know, the world's changed, and it's for the better.
Yeah.
You know, to see these soldiers going over there and get the chance for 9 months, like most of them were over there, to experience somebody else's culture. I mean, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, and of course, nobody wants to go to war, but the stories that you hear from some of these folks is not always about the bad times, the good times as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The camaraderie that exists, you know, between them. And you probably get to hear these more than even I do here, being involved with the VFW, because you get to be around these guys all the time. What are some interesting stories you've heard about just people in World War II especially?
Well, I think, okay, so two of the best ones, and because of all the privacy and stuff, there's two residents that, well, there's three of them. We did a thing with the Warriors Transition Battalion last year, where we went to one of the local senior facilities, and there were 12, 14, maybe 15 World War II veterans that were there. And they had out all of their stuff. And one of the guys was in the Army Air Corps, which for those of us that are young that don't know what it is, that was the Army's bombers and airplanes and stuff back kind of along with the Air Force and stuff, but the Army had their own. The Battle of Nuremberg, the other guy was an engineer. And they were, and this is something for folks to look up, is the bridge that they put over the Rhine, that the engineers put over the Rhine with the expandable bridges. They built this and barges and stuff. It's phenomenal. So this guy's talking, the engineer is talking about how they built this bridge for everybody to cross the Rhine in Nuremberg, and how they were fighting the Germans and they're getting shot at. And he said, and then these planes came over, B-52s, and they started bombing. Well, and he said, I remember this one that this engine was out on. And the guy that was in the Army Air Corps looks over at him and he said, what? You were there? He said, yes. And he said, I was flying that plane.
Oh, wow.
Same place. They've been in the same place for who knows how many years, and they never connected until that day that the Army Air Corps guy was one of the guys that saved their lives. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. And the other one, and it's one of the things that I always try to talk about, is female veterans, because people look at the veterans organizations, the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, as it's all guys. Well, that's not true, because there's female veterans too. So going back to the senior facility, this little lady, she says, well, I was at Pearl Harbor. I went, oh? She said, yep. She said, 60 days after the bombing, she said, I was a cook. I said, oh, okay. And she said, I'm a Marine.
Wow.
97 years old, she's still a Marine. So, but it was kind of nice to hear her story, you know, about what it was like to get there and doing her job as a cook, is, you know, trying to find, get the meals prepared and get the meals planned and all this other stuff. Really, really neat.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. And it's kind of an underrepresented population, especially back in those days.
And the thing is, one of the things that I, as a Native American, unlike my, you know, this, I get this from my mom. It's mm-hmm. the beard. Because my mom was white, but it's okay. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is, and I'm going to kind of go on a Native American thing. Native Americans have the highest population of service. And of course, we have the lowest population, but we also have the highest instance of service. But on that same line, the female veterans, there's less than 20%. And we need them. And all the veterans organizations need them, because we're there for all veterans. And I can't stress that enough. You know, and going with that, I pulling up some statistics as we were coming out, and we kind of do a year summary here. Mm-hmm. So this year, our year started April 1st. And today's the 6th of December. Our post this year has done over 1,500 hours of community service. We have helped local veterans. Oh, man, I think we're a little over $1,000 this year. So not quite as much as last year with the flood, but we've done that. And veteran service, I think we're getting close to about the same, 500, maybe 1,000 hours.
Wow, that's pretty good.
20,000 miles, you know, taking veterans just to an appointment here in town, taking them to Topeka, Salina, Kansas City. I mean, I can say that's what our post is all about, because that's what we do. It's like, we're here for you, and I can't stress that enough to, you know, and it doesn't matter if you got out 78 years ago or if you got out yesterday. That's what we're here for.
You know, and I would maybe imagine this time of year, being the holidays, if there's a veteran out there who's hearing this and they're alone this time of year, what a great place to be with the VFW.
You know, saying that brings me into the next thing. December 16th, we will be having our annual award ceremony. Or, right? Yep, I got to look. Hold on. I got to be a troll here for a second. I believe that's right. Should be next Saturday.
Next Saturday would be the 14th.
14th. Yep, it's the 14th. See, okay. you got me, man. You got me. So the 14th of December is going to be our awards ceremony and our Christmas dinner from 5 to 7 p.m. at 1231 Poins at the First Free Methodist Church. But that's also a very important day, because that's Wreaths Across America. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people, look it up on the website. Look it up on their website. Just type in Wreaths Across America and Google it, and buy a wreath, because these wreaths go out to all veterans that have died. And it goes, we go out and we place them, and it starts at 11, and that will be at the Fort Riley Cemetery, and we got a bunch of them. So, and everybody has, but if you haven't, you still have time to do that. And I encourage people to do that. That's very humbling.
Yeah, great ceremony. It really is.
It really is. It really. And last year was actually my first one, and it's truly, truly humbling to have, you know, the speakers and stuff and walk the line, so to say, and put those wreaths on there, because it just very humbling. Yeah.
Well, we're about out of time. Dan, I appreciate you coming out here and kind of reflecting with us a little bit here and telling us all about the great things going on at VFW post-1786. Real quick, where are you guys located at? If people
1231 Poins, the First Free Methodist Church. And if anybody knows of a new place, a new building, let us know, because we're looking to expand and we're looking to get started again, because that's my biggest goal. Is a new home. Thanks, Brandon.
All right.
Always great.
Appreciate it.